Well, there was a fifth grade boy in public school who was not doing very well. He was getting mostly C's and D's, and in mathematics, he was getting F's. And so the parents tried everything. They tried extra classes, they tried private tutoring. Finally, they said, well, even though we're not Catholic, we're going to send him to Catholic school, and the nuns will straighten him out. And so this little fifth grader was sent to Catholic school, and immediately his grades improved. He was getting straight A's, even in mathematics. And so the parents said, son, why the dramatic change? And the little boy said, well, the first day of class, I walked into the classroom, and I looked up, and I saw what they did to the man on the big plus sign. And I knew they meant business. Well, the cross is a plus sign. It's not a negative. That's why we call it Good Friday. Because what Jesus did for us on the cross was positive. Even though he suffered terribly, he opened the gates of heaven. He redeemed the world. He paid the price for the sins of each and every person that ever lived or will ever live. The cross is a plus sign. It is positive. And we have to look at sufferings in that light, that God can bring good out of every suffering, out of your suffering, out of everyone's suffering, because Jesus himself embraced the cross and saved us through the wood of the cross. And who crucified Christ? It was each one of us. Our sins nailed Jesus to the cross. Each one of us is responsible for the death of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, as the Lord was hanging on the cross, he spoke seven times. That was so difficult for a man dying on the cross to be able to speak, because he had to pull himself up from the nails in his hands and push up on the nails from his feet. And Jesus only spoke seven times from the cross. We call these the seven last words, or the seven last phrases, the seven last sentences that the Lord ever spoke. Bishop Sheen, for 50 years, preached on the seven last words of Christ up in New York City. You should go online and watch or listen to these great homilies by Bishop Sheen on the seven last words. And then for the last 25 years, Monsignor George Rutler has been doing the same thing. So really delve into these beautiful passages about the seven last words of Christ. Let me just briefly touch on them for a few moments. When Jesus spoke from the cross three times, he addressed the Heavenly Father. Twice he addressed the crowd. Once he addressed the thief. And another time he addressed his mother and John. The first words that Jesus spoke from the cross, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Jesus referred to God as Abba, this intimate word that only a young child would use for his father. Abba, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. So the first words that Jesus spoke were to his Heavenly Father, words of forgiveness. Normally, when men were crucified, it was so painful. In fact, you get the word excruciating from ex cruces, which means from the cross. Being crucified was such terrible pain that people would curse. They would swear. They would blaspheme. They would curse the day of their birth. They would curse their parents. They would curse God. They would curse their enemies. But not from the lips of Jesus. The first thing Jesus said was, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And then the second word Jesus spoke was addressed to the thief. We call him the good thief, Saint Dismas. And these are some of the most comforting words in the entire Bible. The thief had said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus turned to him and said, I assure you, this day you shall be with me in paradise. Imagine the faith of that good thief who saw a dying crucified man and yet realized he was divine. He was the Son of God. he was a king. And he said, remember me when you enter into your kingdom. And Jesus says, this day you'll be with me in paradise. Bishop Sheen says that this thief was a thief to the end. He stole heaven at the last moment. And heaven can be stolen by us as well if we repent and ask God for forgiveness. What a great passage this is, because these words of Christ give us hope. It gives us comfort that there are such things as deathbed conversions. In his case, it was a death cross conversion. But for us, it could be a deathbed conversion, or maybe for your children or your grandchildren or your spouse or your parent. There's always hope. Never give up, because God's grace can convert a soul even at the last moment of their life on their deathbed. The third word that Jesus spoke from the cross was addressed to his mother and to John. These words are written here in our beautiful church. Woman, behold your son. Son, behold your mother. The Lord knew he was going to die. Mary had no other children. Jesus was the only son of Mary. So he had to entrust his mother to an apostle, to his beloved disciple, John. And he said, behold your mother. And of course, John represents each one of us, that Mary has now become our spiritual mother. And just as John took Mary into his heart, and as scripture says, he took her into his own, he took her into his house, so we too accept Mary as our mother. We take Mary into our heart, into our lives, into our home as our spiritual mother. And then Mary gets us as her children. Woman, behold your son. Every one of us is a beloved son and daughter of God, and we have Mary as our spiritual mother. So we should pray our rosary every day to acknowledge that Mary is our true spiritual mother. The fourth word that Jesus spoke from the cross was again addressed to the Heavenly Father. And here he says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? This is the word of Christ that is the most difficult to understand. Did Jesus somehow doubt, or did he have some sort of a dark night of the soul where he felt abandoned by God? Well, when we read what the fathers of the church have said, and Pope Benedict in his book, Jesus of Nazareth, on Holy Week, he says that the Lord was quoting Psalm 22. The first verse of Psalm 22 is, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? When a person said the first word of the psalm, people would know the entire psalm. If I said to you the words, Our Father, you know what prayer I'm referring to. If I said, Hail Mary, you'd be able to finish the prayer. So if I said, the Lord is my shepherd, there is nothing I shall want, you would know that's Psalm 23. Well, people knew, of course, it was Psalm 22, which is a psalm that predicts the crucifixion, where it says, they have pierced my hands and my feet. They have numbered all my bones. They have cast lots for my clothing. They divide my clothing among them. They surround me like fierce wild animals. They mock me. And so the Lord quoted this psalm because he was now fulfilling this psalm. But it's not a psalm of despair. It's a psalm that ends in triumph, that all the scattered nations of the world will come to Almighty God. So yes, Jesus did take upon himself the sins of the world, even the sins of atheism and agnosticism. Jesus made reparation for those sins as well when he experienced this cry from the cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? But he then culminates this in this psalm of triumph, Psalm 22. The fifth word from the cross, he spoke to the crowd. He said, I thirst. And yes, of course, when someone is crucified, their thirst is tremendous because of the loss of blood, the physical effects that torment the person. Jesus is scourging at the pillar, his crowning with thorns, the carrying of the cross. He lost such a great deal of blood, so he was so parched, so thirsty. And yet we know that it was primarily he was thirsting for souls. Primarily Jesus was thirsting for our love. for our compassion, for our pity. And that's why we go to Eucharistic adoration and receive Jesus in Holy Communion, to return love for love. If you go to any Mother Teresa convents around the world, next to the crucifix in their convent are the words, "I thirst," to remind us that Jesus continues to thirst for souls for each one of us. And Pope Benedict says that when Jesus says, "I thirst," they took the hyssop, dipped it in sour wine, or we call it vinegar, and gave it to the Lord. And the Pope says, when Jesus wants our love, do we return vinegar? You know, do we truly love Jesus, or do we give him vinegar? We should give Jesus the good wine of our love. The sixth word that Jesus spoke from the cross, he again addressed to the crowd, "It is finished." He, of course, is referring to redemption, the paying of the price for the sins of the human race. It is finished. Here was the new Adam dying on the new tree of life, the cross, with Mary, the new Eve, standing at the foot of the cross. Jesus has now paid the price for our salvation, for the sins of the world. He now defeats sin, just as David picked up 5 stones from the creek and used those to defeat Goliath. So Jesus picked up and used his 5 wounds to destroy the Goliath of sin. And lastly, number 7, Jesus again addresses the Heavenly Father and says, "Father, into your hands I commend my spirit." So the first words he spoke from the cross to the Father, "Father, forgive them. They know not what they do." And then the last words he says, "Father, into your hands I commend my spirit." And notice scripture says Jesus said this in a loud voice, and that no one took the Lord's life from him. He freely gave his life for our salvation. And as the Lord said this, his soul left his body. The curtain in the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, showing the end of Judaism, the end of the Old Testament religion of worship in the temple, now replaced by Jesus, the new temple, who would, in his own body, raise it up on the 3rd day. And now we have true worship in spirit and truth in every church throughout the world. And so Jesus's last words show that he had fulfilled the Father's plan. And now he's entrusting his soul back to the Father. "Father, into your hands I commend my spirit." So these are the 7 last words of Christ. Jesus died for each one of us. He paid the price for every sin, sins of atheism, sins of the flesh, sins of greed, sins of impatience, sins of anger. Jesus took every sin and then he paid that price on the cross. So when we look at the cross, we have to see it is a plus sign. It is something positive, because that's why we call it Good Friday.